Tonight, I have a very good guest on the program. Marshall Masters is a former CNN science features news producer, freelance writer, television analyst, and the publisher of YaoUSA.com. Since 1999, he's been researching Earth changes and Nibiru flyby-related topics, including sustainable, survivable communities, catastrophic crop circles, impact events, and future technologies, and like many others, Marshall sees that, yes, we have a few bad things coming, but there is a silver lining to all of it. We're going to bring on Marshall Masters. Hi, Marshall. Welcome to Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. It's a pleasure to be on.
So glad to have you on tonight. And especially, we just heard that Australia is still here and Israel is still here. So I don't think the world is ending yet.
No. No. I think tomorrow we have a higher likelihood of seeing Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi doing the Lucky Lindy.
Yeah, I would say. It just seems like they're getting all cozy all of a sudden.
That would be more. But in terms of what's coming along, could there be a major earthquake?
Probably.
Always could be. Could there be a major impact event?
Probably.
Always could be.
Yeah.
I look at September 23, and I see some interesting aspects to it as a researcher. I treat the Bible as a wisdom text.
Right.
And whereas David Mead sees it, you know, from a very different point of view. And, you know, as I've written in one of my articles on my site, that what Revelation 12 is describing as a birthing process. Mm-hmm. And I raised the possibility that, you know, we are tracking Nibiru. It is an inferior conjunction, which means it's opposite side of the sun inside our orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if it starts coming out from behind the sun? At which point, the surface of the planet, which right now is it's completely illuminated and reflected,
mm-hmm.
and people ask about it. I just posted an article this week, and my Science 16, where I, you know, am raising the possibility that we could have a fix on Nemesis, which is the brown dwarf at the core of that system.
I think what I want to do, Marshall, is we're going to take a break, and then I want you to go into some detail here and actually define these things so people can have a clear view of what is happening. We're going to tear away all of the possibilities of the end of the world, and we're going to start talking about the science behind Planet X, Nibiru, or even Planet 9 for that matter. And I hear they're two different things now. I don't know what's going on with that. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back. Sign, there were many people, including the discoverers of Planet 9, in the film, and they were talking about how, I guess, Planet 9 and Planet X are two different things. That Planet 9, people have the temptation of calling it Planet X because it's been discovered, but Planet X is something totally different. Am I correct, or is this not true?
Planet 9 is, I call it Plan 9 from outer space.
Okay.
All right. Now, what happened on Planet 9 is that this goes back a few months. We reported on our site. There were some excellent astronomers doing really good work at the Alma Observatory in Chile. Very, very large array.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually imaged two objects out at the edge of the system around the Kuiper Belt. One was a super Earth of several times the size of the Earth, and the other was so large that they were making a suggestion that it could possibly be a very old, very cold brown dwarf star.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a brown dwarf star is a very small star relative to other stars. I mean, it's only about twice the size of Jupiter. It'll be about less than 1% the mass of our own sun. And a brown dwarf has enough mass to ignite, but not to maintain a nuclear furnace, so to speak, like our sun does. Mm-hmm. So it's like a charcoal briquette in the backyard when you're barbecuing. It just gets white and then banks off, except it takes billions of years. Mm-hmm. And the Planet X system that's coming has a brown dwarf, which we call Nemesis, at the core, and then it has planets in orbit around that, one of which is Nibiru. Now, people hear the term destroyer, Nibiru, frightener, dragon, Herculibus, and, you know, a few others. All of these are describing the same objects. What we have to understand is the history of this is very old, and so it is documented thoroughly in the wisdom texts and folklore across the globe. For example, Herculibus, which is amongst Latinos, what they call it, was actually what the Atlantean name for this is. Nibiru is one of the planets. It came from Zachariah Sitchin's translation of the Sumerian tablets. And we refer to it as Planet X. Now, this was a term coined by American astronomer Percival Lowell early in the 1900s. The Europeans were looking for what they were calling Neptune's perturber. And Uranus was the first planet discovered with a telescope. But Neptune was discovered with mathematics. They observed perturbations, a little zigzag, if you will, in the orbit of Uranus, which once they worked out the math, I mean, it just dialed it right in, like a modern computer, just boom, they found Neptune. While they observed Neptune, they all of a sudden they're going, Neptune is doing a little zigzag itself. It has a perturbation. Mm-hmm. And it takes a large planet to do this. So the perturber, they were looking for Neptune's perturber. Now, when Percival Lowell founded the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, what he was really doing was he was taking over from the Europeans who had been doing this for some time, and he began the search for Neptune's perturber, which he then named Planet X. Now, Planet X does not mean Planet 10. Planet X means it is a planet that we know exists even though we have not yet observed it. And the reason why we know it exists is we can see that it is perturbing the orbits of planets we can observe. And so Planet X simply means the unknown.
Right.
And that's what the term means. And Planet 9 is something that was, frankly, this was necessary to fill a vacuum created by a smear campaign that Brown, who calls himself Pluto Killer, is involved with. And he worked with a gal at the Washington Post to smear these astronomers in Chile. And she had no idea of...
See, I didn't understand that because I remember what, December of 2015, we got the Chilean report about Planet X or Planet 9. They didn't call it Planet X. It's some unknown planet, like you say, the perturber. And that set me off to talk about Nemesis and all these other things. But then, of course, the Caltech guys, they came forward and said that Planet 9 existed. NASA, of course, gave a smirk and said, well, if it exists, we'll tell you if it exists or not. And they really don't like anyone saying that NASA has confirmed Planet X. David Mead got a lot of crap for saying that NASA confirmed that Planet X was going to come and somehow cover the sun and bring with it all kinds of meteors and rocks. Marshall Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero explaining why there's such a concern for tomorrow and Planet X and all this. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. Marshall Masters, my guest tonight. Yow USA, Yow.USA, and other great writings and all kinds of comments about planets. Planet X, about Nibiru, about Nemesis. And it's great to have him on the program tonight to talk about these subjects, because I think it's time to kind of pull out the old school and tell people, you know. And I know you've been writing for YahooSA.com for a long time, and you know, a lot of people have been informed by what you've had to say. You worked with you did CNN Science Features. You were a news producer there. You've done a lot of freelance writing, television writing, and so for you, this is something I'm sure that you've had to address many times. NASA is fed up with having to answer the questions about Planet X. So what is it that NASA isn't getting right, and what is it that we need to know about Planet X that the mainstream won't tell us?
Well, this, NASA is never a straight answer.
Right.
And, you know, when we're just real fast, the bottom line on Planet 9 was they did a political axe job on these astronomers who discovered these objects down in Chile. They trashed them. They trashed their white papers, trashed their reputation, threatened their income, got rid of them, got rid of the work that they did, which was good quality science, replaced it with this insane Planet X, or excuse me, Planet 9 thing that Mike Brown is doing, because he was the guy that did the smear job on Chile. So he had to come up with something, and I think, you know, Planet 9 is they're just not being honest. It's distraction. You know,
but haven't they said
they might as well just say with Planet 9 it happened a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Well, aren't they saying, though, that there is a possibility that we will be seeing Planet 9 anywhere between now and December? Or they talk, or see, this is what's confusing, is I hear Planet 9 sometime in December, and then I've said Planet X sometime in December. I mean, are we going to be seeing this planet in Earth orbit or around near the sun or from behind the sun anytime soon?
Well, I'm posting observation videos on my site.
So you already have observation. You've seen it.
You know, I already have them. Now, it's difficult to see because it's just behind the sun, but it can be seen around sunrise and sunset. It depends the time of day that you're looking at. Also, your viewing conditions. Geoengineering, this chemtrail spraying has really deteriorated the skies. So we have a lot of problem with that. Weather modification makes a lot of problem with that. The best observations are on a high mountaintop or at altitude in an airplane. But we're getting consistent reports. Now, when is it going to come out from behind the sun so that a lot of people are seeing it? And I don't think that's that many months off, because I have been tracking observation on this going back to 2013. We were tracking it with a webcam on Turrialba, and the reporting was excellent, and the government went up there and had the university webcam replaced with something that I think was used in the first Nixon-Kennedy debate. And
there was a moon landing.
Yeah, you know, it was really designed to make it impossible to really do anything
right. Realistic
or constructive with the analysis. But I've been tracking it for a long time. But I look at other signs. Now, we look at, there are two key indicators. Now, a lot of people think that the December 21, 2012 Mayan calendar was just a bunch of hooey.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, no. Because in 2015, we were doing some work on other things with a couple of other Planet X researchers. We were collaborating. And it was just like, hold on a second. Maybe we need to revisit this. Let's go look at empirical data, you know, the kind you can take to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went back and we looked at December 21, 2012. We selected two data sets, fireballs, and which are very large, those are large meteors.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that is bolides, and then you have super bolides like the one that detonated over Chelyabinsk in 2013.
Right.
But then the other one we're looking at are earthquakes of all magnitudes. And the reason why we do earthquakes of all magnitudes is that the USGS is continually downgrading things, they're statistically gerrymandering the results so that they can say, well, things are really not getting that much worse, because they'll take, for example, a 6.1 and knock it down to a 5.8 and this kind of thing, so that they keep downgrading these things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to just say of all magnitudes, then you know, it's a more realistic measure. It takes away the statistical jerry-rigging that they're doing. And there we're seeing a massive uptick. In fireballs, we're seeing a massive uptick. And what really surprised us when we started going into the empirical data was we went to December 21, 2012, and right after that day, okay, within a couple of weeks, these statistics started going up. Like, yeah, remember Coyote Roadrunner, and Coyote gets on the Acme rocket and lights it and goes straight up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Coyote is still screaming. The Coyote is still riding that rocket since after December 21, 2012. So what the Mayan calendar was a harbinger event based on a celestial alignment, and the Mayans were saying to their future generations, when you see this celestial alignment, you are on the timeline of a catastrophic period.
They called it the final cycle of creation. I remember when I did a lot of reporting on the Mayan calendar, I said the world is not going to end on that day. There's going to be a force structuring of new timetable. There's going to be a new time that will be functioning, and that they say that when the alignments happen, a new era or a new aeon would take place, and that it would be the final cycle of creation, meaning the creation's final cycle, that no longer would man have children, no longer would animals have children. It would be an extinction time period of nothing but, you know, going slowly downhill.
Yeah, and you look at what's happening when we look at what's happening with earthquakes and fireballs. Fireballs are a particular concern to us because, you know, you have meteor showers all the time.
Right.
Fireballs are the big ones that race across the sky and can be reported by over 100 people going across state lines, even international lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ones that we're really tracking, that kind of meteor, because that is going to be something that is, as the Planet X system is approaching the core of our system, it's coming in like a cue ball. All right, it's bringing its own junk, but also there's going to be objects in orbit around rocks that are in orbit around our sun that are in benign orbits, would never be a problem. But all of a sudden, you got this big cue ball coming through space, and it knocks them. All of a sudden, then they're into an Earth-crossing orbit, and now it's a different thing altogether.
So we're talking about a sweeper effect, that this planet, when it comes into view, comes from out from behind the sun, it comes into view, and while it may not collide with our planet, it brings with it its own baggage, if you will, cosmic baggage.
Absolutely.
The cosmic baggage then can be hurled towards the Earth, and we'd be playing an odd cosmic game of snooker in that respect.
Right. And by the way, if anybody tells you that Planet X is going to hit the Earth, they either are a paid disinformational operative or a brainless twit.
Okay. All right.
That's it. It's not going to hit us. What it will do is this system is going to arc over our heads. All right. And so none of these objects in the system are going to smack into us. That doesn't mean that it's not going to throw rocks at us. It will.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem. And as it's going through its flyby and it's arcing to go south into the southern skies, and it crosses the ecliptic, which is the plane of our system. Imagine the sun's equator just stretched out to the 12 signs of the the zodiac.
Right.
12 constellations of the zodiac.
Right.
So we have things that we really need to be concerned with. Now, when I look at tomorrow, September 23, what I'm seeing is a replay of December 21, 2012 with the Mayan calendar, a harbinger event. Harbinger events are not catastrophic. Harbinger events good prophecy always has a harbinger so that you could know that you are on the timeline mm-hmm. of a catastrophic event. That's what it's there to tell you. And the ancients used celestial alignments. Now, this celestial alignment that they have done is incredibly rare, all right? Mm-hmm. And parts of this alignment would have been visible in the sky 3 days before the birth of Yeshua, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is something that we're being told, you know, you're going to see this. Now, what are we going to see coming afterwards?
Well, I want to stop there because I want to see what you say about that. I just posted on Facebook, a listener was very generous in sharing with us something from his Skyview app, Brian Russ. And so I posted from the Skyview app, the alignment's happening according to Skyview, and it is happening. It looks amazing. You can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/groundzeroradio, as the Virgo convergence begins. And tonight, talking with Marshall Masters about Planet X. A lot of concern about Planet X playing into this. We don't think that it's going to play into it like some others do. We think, though, that we need to pay attention because soon we will be seeing Planet X. And if you haven't already, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clegg Lewis. Marshall Masters with us on Ground Zero talking about Planet X and exactly what we should be seeing. As you said, that in a few months, we may be able to see Planet X come from behind the sun. Now, I remember, I don't know if it was you or someone else, or someone who was telling me, Planet X was coming. Because, I mean, people were saying, Planet X is coming, Planet X is coming, Planet X is coming. They've been doing this for 20 years now, over 20 years. And I remember somebody telling me, they said, well, if Planet X is anywhere near us, Clyde, you'd know. And I'd said, well, how would I know? So, well, the Earth would start acting pretty bizarre because a new planet moving towards us, or at least coming over in a weird orbit, would cause, once again, the perturber, as you call it. It would be a great perturber, and everything on the planet would be shaken up. There'd be earthquakes, there'd be tidal waves, there'd be all kinds of activity, earthquakes, bad weather. And so I remember the other night I caught myself in something. Somebody had talked about Planet X, saying that it's here, it's gonna throw itself into the Earth on the 23rd. And I says, no, it's not gonna do that. I mean, if it was that close to hitting the planet, I said we'd see it by now. We'd see this huge planet over our heads. We'd be able to see it in the sky like they see the Death Star over Yavin 4 or something. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it'd be like seeing the Death Star in the sky. We haven't done that yet. But see, I have, as you say, I've seen people sending me pictures, whether it's in Japan or China or in other places, where we definitely see a planet of curvature above the sun or just right behind the sun. And when those pictures started showing up from out of nowhere, I didn't know whether I believed them or not. I thought lens flare to be first. And then beyond that, I didn't know. But now we have so many things going on with the planet, and with the idea that I was told that December would be the month that we would finally be able to see Planet X clearly, this is beginning to bother me a bit, because everything that I said, if the planet was close, we'd know it, because the house would rock, so to speak. Well, the house is rocking. The waves are waving. I mean, are we seeing this now? Is the planet reacting to the sighting of Planet X coming in the next few months?
I don't think Earth is reacting directly to this other system. What we have is that we are reacting to how the sun is interacting with Nemesis, the brown dwarf at the core of the Planet X system. Now, this, Clyde, is the bad boy that we really have to be worried about. This is the one that's going to really do the damage to us, is Nemesis. And I think Nemesis, this brown dwarf star, is what is foretold in Bible prophecy. But it's also in many other prophecies and predictions as well. What we have right now is the sun is interacting, and this is literally causing an increase in solar luminosity. And in 1999, I came out and I published a paper that said global warming is principally solar luminance, and that we were, as a species, exacerbating that. Mm-hmm. Well, I was really smeared and attacked by a lot of people. It's very vicious, and I was new to this, and so I withdrew the paper. Mm-hmm. About 4 years later, the Max Planck Institute came out and said exactly the same thing.
That's where we heard about global dimming, where they wanted to do something called global dimming. Am I correct?
Well, the global dimming is what they're really trying to do with the chemtrail spray.
Right. And that's being a person who's really into geoengineering, watching and talking about this, I knew something about global dimming, but I had no idea, because I remember you did write something about the luminescence of the planet and how it was brighter, this could be the reason. And then after you pulled that paper, it was funny, the sun started acting up. It started acting peculiar. We started hearing about strange holes in the sun, actually the cooling areas, sunspots, CMEs, and then they started talking about the Carrington effect and how it could damage the planet. All of these doomsday scenarios. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. In our reality, and the exploitation in both science and religion makes us wonder if we are now in the midst of the end times reality, or in a sense of hyper awareness because of how we see our reality through the lens of Hollywood. Reality in some respects is becoming more terrifying, and the force structuring of apocalyptic events in movies and TV are now appearing to be materializing. People have told me that I need to watch Salvation to get an idea of what's going on. I've seen a lot of Salvation, not necessarily watched. I've seen it on monitors here. So, yeah, I mean, you know, something about a huge asteroid coming to hit the planet. I mean, let's think of something here for a moment. You know, Shakespeare once said, he said that the world's a stage. All the world's a stage. And if we look at it with the final act begging for the curtain call, then perhaps the end game includes some sort of deus ex machina that we have not planned on, or perhaps lies in wait for an opportunity to appear. So let's look at Planet X, for example. Planet X is about to come close to the Earth, or in some theories will smash into the Earth tomorrow. And when people speak of the Nibiru Planet X catastrophe slated for September 23rd, they're speaking of a prophecy concocted by a man named David Mead. And David Mead has tied Planet X to various biblical prophecies and passages, which he claimed foretold its arrival in 2017. Initially, he said that the arrival would be October, but then he later revised it to September 23rd, citing the solar eclipse of August 21st, 2017, as a harbinger. His theories have gone viral now, and he has also falsely claimed that NASA had confirmed Nibiru's existence and declared that it was headed straight for Earth. Marshall Masters with me tonight on Ground Zero has talked about Planet X many times, and has written many stories about it and many scientific accounts, and he's actually talked with many people in the science community about it. Well, I know for sure that NASA would never confirm the existence of Nibiru. I mean, they get downright angry when you talk about it, don't they, Marshall?
They really do. I mean, what people have to understand is what the major plan here is, and that is to ensure the greatest dieback of the species possible. Mm-hmm. And the majority of humanity lives along a coastline. And if you keep those people in a false sense of security and tell them shelter in place and hold off on the, you know, you need to relocate warnings, they're going to sit there. They're going to just plant themselves there. And that is going to cause massive amounts of death when this system comes through. But this is not going to have, everybody wants this biblical outcome. It's like, okay, give me a date and that's it. Kaplow, it happens, and God, you know, kill them all, let God sort them out, that nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen that way. It's a slow motion train wreck. It's going to take several years. I'm talking about a tribulation period. I use the term tribulation as it's defined in the dictionary, is a time of testing, uh-huh, a trial. And we're looking at about a decade from first grumble to last grumble for all of this to transpire. And so this is going to roll out in stages. One of the reasons why they do the chemtrail spraying, and it was nice to hear that you're interested in that, because it just doesn't make sense to people. You hear a guy like Dave Wigington, and he's going, they're imploding the biosphere. What is their major malfunction? Why are they doing this? It's insane. And the reason why they're doing this, all the geoengineering, the principal part of it is to combat the growing solar luminosity. In other words, they want to reflect photons back into space, and they're using aluminum and sulfur and just the toxic witch's brew of stuff to do it.
Right.
But the main point is that they're reflecting photons. So, yes, they're fouling their own nest. The people that are doing this have to breathe this air that they're creating. But what they're really looking at is they have a long-term strategic view of this. See, it doesn't matter whether we are spraying chemtrails or not. We are already in a biosphere implosion. This is the sixth major extinction, the Holocene extinction event. We're losing 200 to 300 plant and animal species every day. Half the corals in the world are dying, and most all of what is left will be dead within a decade.
Well, and I was talking with my wife, and she was telling me, because she knows some things, she says, it's so bad that, you know, all the money is being thrown to climate science and nothing is going towards natural resources or to try and resuscitate what she calls the natural resources of the planet. It's all going for big money, big governments, basically tossing around money because they feel they're indebted or they're owed this kind of money for infractions that we've created with our use of fossil fuels. And I'm thinking, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because it doesn't seem to me that anything's going towards preserving natural resources. It's all going towards solar. It's all going towards a number of other things, and never goes to things like, oh, I don't know, protecting the Earth from asteroids. I mean, they were begging for budgets during the Obama administration. They weren't getting anything. And then finally someone came up and said, hey, are you going to give us some money? Because things are coming at us. And which also, you know, puts me in a weird position to say this. You know, I remember the struggle I had. I used to have this thing about near-Earth objects because of Chelyabinsk. Right. I was on the air when Chelyabinsk happened. I was the first American radio show. I was on the air. I lucked out. I was the first American radio show to get the Chelyabinsk explosion real time. I got it from listeners who were listening in Russia, and I had a very astute producer who saw that there was a huge earthquake in the Ural Mountains, which I thought was bizarre. And then a report went down the wire that Russia just suffered a massive explosion from a meteor. And, right. And from there, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, what are we going to do to protect ourselves? Because you know that at the time Chelyabinsk happened, NASA was tracking another meteor that was coming close to the Earth. And I thought, wow, I wonder if this will have a sweeper effect, just like, you know, this is a bigger body. It may bring with it its own baggage, like you were talking about with Planet X. And I'm thinking, wouldn't that happen? If that happens, we'll have reports of fireballs all over. I had no clue that we were going to have an explosion over Chelyabinsk. And we got that. And I actually, I told my audience last night, I actually had a chance to touch, or at least hold in my hand, part of that meteor, because one of my friend's wives, Angie, has a friend who is actually Russian, who had in his possession a piece of that rock. He was one of the men that brought the rock out of the lake. It was amazing. But you see, this event that happened back in 2013, I thought to myself, this is just the beginning. And if something bigger like that comes our way because of maybe Planet X entering into the equation, we're going to be seeing a lot of these unknown rocks coming into play. And we had at least three this past week that NASA said, well, we caught him in the rearview mirror because we didn't see him coming at us. That's what they said. They said, we saw these in the rearview mirror. We thought we'd report them.
NASA always does rearview mirror. This started back in 2000. I remember Brian Marsden of the Smithsonian Astrophysics Lab. He was the go-to guy if you wanted to get an object named. He was furious because in the early days of the internet, astronomers were reporting these asteroids, and the British tabloids were picking it up and whipping up a lot of impact hysteria. And what NASA did was they laid the law down to astronomers. They said, you will not report this anymore. There's no more free and open discussion. You will report it to us. And if you don't do that, welcome to the exciting world of fast food. You're working. You're going to go from working a telescope to the grill at Wendy's.
Well, they also made it against the law for anybody to come in contact with an extraterrestrial rock. You know, it used to be meteor hunters would go and they'd fetch a lot of money for discovering these rocks. Now they say, don't touch anything that comes out of the sky. We want you to report where it came down, and we want to have at it. And I wonder, what's so weird? Why is that so weird? Why are they doing that?
Well, Clyde, this is, they know what's coming, all right? The reason why they're doing all the chemtrail spraying now, it's not for our benefit. It's not for your benefit. It's not for your listeners' benefit. They understand the scope of the disaster that is coming. What they're doing is if they chemtrail now, then when the tribulation is finished and they come up from their deep underground bases, 2 miles underground, and they come to the surface, they don't want to find a planet that's turned into another Venus or a Mars. So the chemtrailing now is a Hail Mary pass so that they have a planet with an aquasphere, a biosphere, and an atmosphere that can naturally regenerate themselves, that they're not taxed past their breaking points. And that is the whole reason why they're doing the chemtrail spraying now. It's the reason why there's so much suppression. Anything comes close to the truth on Planet X, it gets buried. And it gets buried very fast.
This explains why you can't talk about geoengineering in any groups talking about climate change, because that would just blow their whole cover. That's exactly why. Because they blow the whole cover of keeping the planet pretty much covered up, hiding what is out there, whether it be something extraterrestrial, making the public sick in the process, and also damaging the weather. It's just sick what they're doing, and it's obvious they're doing it. Marshall Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero, 888-673-3700. No, it's not the end of the world, not yet. But there are some things coming with Planet X, including Planet X. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clegg Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. Tonight on Ground Zero. In the past week, astronomers discovered three never-before-seen asteroids as they whizzed by Earth significantly closer than the vast majority of passing near-Earth asteroids. And this is what I find interesting. NASA says, in hindsight, that they actually were no threat to the planet. No kidding, they didn't hit us. But when we are talking about sweeper effects from a possible arrival of Planet X, it becomes noteworthy. It's a little unsettling that the largest of the three, asteroid 2017 SQ2, was spotted and then reported 4 days after this rock the size of a warehouse passed over our heads about 120,000 miles above the planet. Asteroid 2017 SM2, about half the size of that, it passed this early Wednesday morning at about 188,000 miles up. And the closest and smallest piece of rock that whizzed by was asteroid 2017 SR2, which was said to be about the size of a bus and came by last Wednesday afternoon at about 55,000 miles away from us. So, we've got some things happening. We're even going to have a drill on October. Well, they're going to start monitoring a real asteroid. They're going to have this drill. They're going to monitor a real asteroid on October 12th. They're going to track it and actually talk about what trajectory would mean, if it hit the Earth, what we do, how we protect ourselves, how we can intercept it. All these things are happening. And not only that, but they're going to be doing an emergency alert system statewide broadcast on the 27th of September and then again on the 4th of October. 27th of September, they're doing war games in Poland. And on the 4th of October, they start tracking this near-Earth object that I've heard is anywhere from 4,000 miles out to 27,000 miles out. What do you say to that, Marshall?
Well, they're starting to prepare us, and I'm seeing more and more of it. I call it foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that they do that they will not tell us. They hide from us, but there are other things that it must be the rules of the road. They've got to share it for some reason or another. And so they're going to be in a position when people start dying to say, "What? Look, we told you."
Well, I think we're pretty damn lucky right now. I think if you look at it, we've been pretty damn lucky. Chelyabinsk was an accident. I don't think they even considered this, or they did consider it, and it just happened over Russia, thinking, well, it happened with the Ural Mountains, nothing will happen. But it happened over, their nuclear facilities, which is also pretty bizarre. That's their Area 51, if you will.
Right.
That's where they shot down the U-2, actually, was over at Chelyabinsk. But, that was just a few years ago. That caused a lot of damage. It injured about 15,000 people. I can imagine, though, if this next one is coming in October, which is really close. I mean, it's closer than the moon. I would say if this one just happened to get out of their hands and they miscalculated something, I mean, anything that's within about, 2 or 3 million, maybe 4 million miles away from the planet is considered a potentially dangerous asteroid. I mean, this is potentially dangerous even though it's only 100 feet wide.
That's right. But 100 feet wide is, that's bigger than the Chelyabinsk bolide.
I thought it was the same size, about the same size.
About the same size. So I was just a little bit under that. But I think the important thing about Chelyabinsk is that it was a 30-30 event. When it detonated, it was 30 times brighter than the sun, and it released 30, the energy equivalent to 30 Hiroshima atomic bombs.
Right.
Now, imagine if that rock
500
had bursted over New York City or Paris or Moscow.
It would have destroyed New York City. It would have just,
absolutely.
There would have been an EMP. It would have destroyed New York City. The buildings would have been destroyed. It would have been ugly.
It would have been ugly. Now, both the Russians and NASA, when they were pushed by the media, because the media was, how come you guys missed this? Because on that same day, NASA was going, look at this keyhole asteroid, which was cockamamie, and it didn't pass through the keyhole.
Right.
And they missed this really big event, completely, totally blindsided. And so they finally, when they were pushed and pushed and pushed, said, look, it came out from behind the sun. We don't look that direction.
Yes, it came from behind the sun, and then they immediately and secretly said, there are a group of Apollo asteroids just waiting behind the sun to hit us. And immediately I thought of Planet X when they said that. I thought, oh, so they're all connected to this planet that's behind the sun that everybody says doesn't exist, that's coming our way, and that people have calculated that it should be at least seen, or, people get glimpses of it by Christmas time.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what Major Ed Dames is saying, is that we're going to see it the size of the moon in November of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dean, who's a whistleblower, and I think he's an incredibly credible man. He's quite old right now, so he's no longer on the circuit. But he said, and this was back in 2008, he said 2017, you could take it to the bank. Now, for me, my position has always been, it's an Amtrak, okay? You don't know when the train's going to pull on the station, but you just know eventually it will.
Right.
And that, for me, is the case. But I am looking at all of the signs. I publish a series. I mean, 16 articles, signs right now, where we're saying, what's happening to our Earth in response to this? Because
mm-hmm.
that really gives you a good handle on the kinds of things, the fireballs that we're observing, the earthquakes that are happening. I mean, right now, given that Mexico had two major quakes, one in Mexico City and then one off the coast, and we're seeing on the other side, there was a major quake off of the coast of Japan. So
yeah.
The question is, are we going to see a major event somewhere along the Ring of Fire?
Well, we have
San Andreas or Cascadia.
To today in California, and I worry that there will be something on the Cascadia Fault, the subduction zone, and that's the next step because it's been going around. You say Japan and Mexico going up the coast, going up the Ring of Fire. We've had Mount Rainier with its earthquakes. And who knows what will happen here in the Cascades. I worry about that. That's the probably the next place we're going to feel the jolt. So I'm kind of psyching myself up for this. Marshall Masters on Ground Zero tonight, Planet X, and we're going to get your phone calls coming up after this break. Keep it here. Don't go away. 3-3-700, that's 888-673-3700. Marshall Masters is my guest tonight on Ground Zero. We are talking about Planet X, of course. It's not going to be smashing into the Earth anytime soon, although a lot of people will want you to believe that because it's good for book sales. And most of the time when you try to book these guys on the show, they say, well, get with my publisher. We'll get with you next week. And so I'm not saying that's what happened with David Mead, but, you know, it's at least I got Marshall on the show. He's not afraid to come forward and talk about Planet X. 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. We go to the phones right now and we see what's on people's minds. Let's go now to Jane in Texas. Hi, Jane. You're on with Marshall Masters. Go ahead.
I'm appreciative of the help at understanding all of the bits of information that's been flying around out here. So it seems to me it may be possible that they're all harbingers, and the eclipses at a seven-year interval, disparate human cultures throughout time have observed this and observed that. Then after, when that happened, the seven-year apart eclipses, then the alignment of the stars that we're talking about that's going to happen, that's already started to happen, that possibly 7 years from them, there is that catastrophic cataclysm that changes everything. They didn't know the science of it necessarily, but they had the powers of observation. We do have the science, and the powers that also know this, they are manipulating the situation to ensure their survival in a biosphere that will allow them to survive. And they're using the global warming to preserve the fossil fuels so that when they come out, they can use it to rebuild and build that next civilization that all of humanity throughout time has been talking about the cycle. And then not only that, they're using what they know to manipulate where the human populations on Earth are when all of this will likely happen, that we've been told will happen, so that those population centers will be where the most damage will be, so that the kill-off of the rest of humanity will be as successful as possible, thus ensuring that they'll be able to exploit the resources for their own survival.
That sounds like a pretty good, sounds like a good assessment of it. What do you think of that, Marshall?
I had a hard time hearing all of it, but it sounded like he pretty much was following
Jane.
Game plan.
Jane, yeah. Jane was talking about that, following the game plan. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's a game plan of exploitation to get resources.
Yeah, what you have to understand is the people who control the planet don't view us as human beings. They see themselves as human beings. We're mullets. All right, so this is a perfect thing for them to eugenically thin the herd, and then they have a much more manageable planet. Look at the Georgia Guidestones. It says keep humanity under 500 million in harmony with nature.
Right.
It doesn't tell us how we get there, Clyde.
Yeah, it's okay. True. It doesn't tell you how you're going to get there, but they know you're going to get there eventually.
That's right. And so they know where this is going. As far as they're concerned, they're leaking out a little bit around the edges for people that they would call perceptives. And perceptives are people that look at it and go, hold on a second, what am I seeing here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, they ask that question. That's a perceptive.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, from what I caught from what he was saying is, yeah, I mean, the populations are set up ideally to where, you know, they can reduce the population dramatically, dramatically. And all they have to do is point up at the sky and say, it's not us, it's that big, ugly rock up there.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So what I can tell you is that everybody's always asking, when am I going to see it with my own two eyes? And unfortunately, that is a death question. And the reason why that is a death question is that people who say, when am I going to see it with my own two eyes, do not trust themselves to understand or to do their own homework as to what they're seeing. They'll run indoors, turn on the TV, and jump right into a fake news channel. Now, if you look at what's happening with Planet X on the internet, there's a lot of search engine manipulation going on right now. What you're seeing is a tremendous amount of fear porn. 95% of the stuff that I'm seeing being posted out there, YouTube and elsewhere, the vast majority of it, there's people that are doing good work, but the stuff that's probably getting a lot of the heavy traffic is garbage. All right.
Well, that's what it always is. I always ask myself, you know, people say, have you seen this guy? Do you know who this guy is? I've never heard of this person. Never, you know, and I've been at this now since 1995. And your name's been there for a long time. A lot of people have been there. When everybody says, do you know who this is? Yeah. But then all of a sudden, some person that I never heard of is this internet sensation that's putting out all this information, like David Meade, for example. I mean,
right.
Why is it that David Meade is so important right now? You know, he's cashing checks right now, selling books, showing up in videos and everything else. But I didn't even know who the hell he was until a couple days ago.
Well, what the elites want to do, Clyde, is what I call expectation stampedes. They find an expectation that is date-driven, something tied to a specific date. A good example of that was the Blood Moon Triad theory. And people get all invested in a catastrophic outcome based on a date.
Yeah.
They know what's coming, and if they know that is not on the timeline, then what they'll do is they get behind it. They don't necessarily go out and recruit the people or put them on the payroll. The best people are unwitting stooges, the ones that all you have to do is just pave the way for them, make it easy, and they think, you know, they've been inspired by God to do this. And they're out there making an awful lot of noise. And then what you have are going to be people that get hung with a non-event. And now they're looking at friends, families, and others. And they're going, oh, there you go again.
Oh, yeah, they continue to do that. And nobody's going to believe the stories when they're told when they're true. It's the cry wolf syndrome that we're having here. And that's the thing.
Exactly.
I even brought up the idea. I said, you know, I know there will be a lot of mocking. And there will be a lot of people that will say things like, well, you know, you were telling us. And I'm like, you know, I never did say that. You think I said that. You think that's the way I feel. You think this is the way I... You think that I'm probably holding a candle to the idea that your world's going to end tomorrow. I mean, if that was the case, I'd cancel on my guests next week for my show. I don't think that way. And so that's the problem, is that there are a lot of loud people who have never, had anything to show for themselves except some weird theory that all of a sudden gains a lot of attention. And immediately, if you dismiss it, you're a shill, or you're a part of the New World Order, you're part of the Illuminati because you're trying to silence somebody. That's not true. You know, if it's not good information, then I'm going to tell you it's not good information. And while I do believe that this convergence is going to have, it's going to have an effect on a lot of people psychologically, and when you have effects on people psychologically, but big events do happen afterwards, I think that it's a greater chance that this will happen after it, like you said. Harbingers happen, and then things happen after the harbingers. Just like the eclipse, I said, well, when the eclipse happens, we may see some changes. And people are right. We say, well, nothing's happening on the day of the eclipse. Nothing happened. The world didn't go away. And I said, it didn't. I said, the world is not going to end. I said, it's a harbinger. It has always affected people psychologically when the heavens do something strange. And who knows what it might mean for people? How are they going to react to it? What is going to happen afterwards? What? We had 27 disasters, 27 catastrophic disasters that were recorded just days after the eclipse. 27. And it was some accidental coincidence of the cosmos. And yet,
right,
it happened. Now, we can say that depending on how this fulfillment of revelation or prophecy happens tomorrow, or it's happening right now, actually, they're gathering together now, I'm getting images of it happening, who knows how it's going to affect people. It's got them excited and thinking about the apocalypse, for one thing. It's got nations preparing for war. That's another thing. And, of course, an alert emergency alert system test that will be going on in the next couple days. So this is how we react to it.
Yeah, but I think that what if this really is a harbinger sign, I think we're going to see something that is not terrestrial or from the skies. We're not going to see a natural event. We're going to see a man-made event. Something that would be brutally earth-shaking for this country is if there is a global currency revaluation, which is coming up.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this a few days ago, actually. Scott Stevens said the same thing. We've had more people, because of this breach at Equifax, tell us that the cashless society is well on its way, a shakeup economically. And these are things that they believe that this situation of the stars is going to do. It's going to change the way we invest. It's going to change the way our economy goes. And once again, we'll be on the brink of bankruptcy. We'll be on the brink of shutting down government. And these are things that, you know, even the guys that see trends use the stars, like the Farmer's Almanac. They look at it the same way, and I don't see any problem with that.
Uh-huh.
So that's exactly what I see, too. Marshall Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero. The numbers to call, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tomorrow's supposed to be the big day. Well, at least according to those who follow David Meade, it's the end of the world. Planet X smashing into the planet and killing everybody. So tonight we're saying, no, that's not going to happen. That doesn't mean Planet X isn't out there. And it doesn't mean we're not going to be feeling the effects of Planet X as it comes towards the planet. Or at least comes pretty close to the planet. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. Planet X. I think it's very healthy to talk about this and be instructed. Charlie in Texas, you're on Ground Zero with Marshall Masters. Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde, thanks for having me. Your guest Marshall's an excellent guest. Brings up a lot of really good points. I wanted to ask him, I was going to talk about something that you mentioned in the first half, but first part of the show, but now that I'm hearing Marshall, other questions popped in. One is, Marshall, do you know, I'm sure this exists, but we know, you know, what asteroids we can see. Is there any kind of math that projects what we can't see? And is there an equation for that to say, well, we saw one today, so that means there's, you know, 80 more behind that one. And does that give us any scale of what a real threat is?
Marshall, did you hear that?
I heard a little bit of it. Just help me with this real. It was I.
Ask
what
question.
I did hear was a good
ask
question.
Ask the question one more time. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, that's all right. That's fine. Can you hear me? Okay.
Can you hear him? Okay.
No, I'm not catching him on this side.
Oh, that's odd. You just can't hear him at all.
He's very faint. Very faint, like off in the distance.
Hi, can you hear me? Going to relay.
Yeah,
the
I'll relay it. Okay. Here's his question. Here's Charlie's question. Go ahead.
Okay, so the question has there ever been computed an algorithm or some percentage of how many asteroids we don't see?
Has there ever been an algorithm or anything, any mathematics about the asteroids we don't see or we can't see? And what was the rest of the question?
Well, just that if what would a percentage be if we see one?
Yeah, what would the percentage be if we see one? How many more are there behind that one?
Well, that's an excellent question, because NASA is only budgeted to look for objects a kilometer in size or larger.
Right.
And literally, for the price of one B-2 bomber, they could be looking for much smaller rocks. So there's only rough estimates. But the problem is we don't know what is happening with Nemesis it's a bow wave effect, all right, and pushing things towards us. One article I would, you know, put forth an idea, it's a hypothetical, that Nemesis has like its own version of an Oort cloud, a ball of ice around it. Question is, are we passing through that? Have we passed through it? Because we're looking at all of the increases in fireballs, or is that yet to come? And we're just seeing something that's being pushed ahead of us. So there's no real way to say, but I will definitely say that there are, once we're into this tribulation, once Nemesis is on our side of the sun, we are going to get pelted with meteorite showers that are going to be brutal. Absolutely brutal. We're going to see an awful lot of impact events, and it will be a time of terror.
Most definitely.
Do we know, does anybody have an idea how big Nemesis is?
How big is Nemesis? He wants to know the star.
Nemesis is probably about twice the size of Jupiter.
Two times
the size of Jupiter, and approximately 1% the mass of our own sun or less.
Okay, so if that thing gets around the sun, I mean, you know, forget the sun.
And it's mass that matters, not size.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff that starts hitting us, I mean, just the gravitational effect alone would probably maybe even be worse.
And like I said, you know, I was always warned, you know, the gravitation perturbations of any new celestial body coming into our orbit, coming from behind the sun, would trigger Earth effects so devastating that people would think the Earth is about ready to split apart. And I swear, since this eclipse, it has felt like that. We have had, like I said, if there was a sin believing that the world will end tomorrow, I think God will forgive you for committing that sin, because I think a lot of people are on the edge thinking the world will end tomorrow. I know it won't. I pray it won't. And Marshall Masters, thank you for giving us information that gives us a feeling that it really won't. As you say, a silver lining in every cloud. Thank you for being on the program tonight.
My pleasure, Clyde.
Always a pleasure having you on. Marshall Masters tonight on Ground Zero. Stay tuned. We got more to come on what is happening and whether or not this type of stuff happening is psychologically healthy for the public, and whether or not we find ourselves in delusion rather than reality. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. So we had a guest on the program to set us straight on Planet X. Just what exactly is going on now. You know, he's worked with CNN, worked in the science department, worked with scientists, talked with them. A lot of what he has to say is based on his theories. A lot of other people have said, yes, Planet X is coming. But the interpretation of what may be happening has been taken to a level, and the level is apocalyptic as usual. Now, this raises a huge red flag with a lot of people, and it gets to a point where people can be cruel. If they don't necessarily believe that this is happening, that the end of the world is happening, they get pretty cruel, and they tend to mock. And that's why I worry that if nothing happens tomorrow, many people will corral all Christians into the boat and say, you were the ones that said this was going to happen, it's not happening, and you will believe anything. And this is where we have to talk about, you know, the differences here and what we have to understand about reality. And we've talked about reality before. We talked about what constitutes reality on an atomic scale. If someone came up to you and said, in all seriousness, that they talked to invisible beings who control the universe, you'd probably go, okay, all right. And some people won't, you know, some people do. I don't know. They get their information from somewhere. But, I mean, a lot of people, if you come up and say to people, oh, by the way, I talk to beings that control the universe, and you can't produce any proof of it, people will start thinking you've lost it a bit. Now, if someone said, I have invisible beings who I talk to, and they've told me the world will end tomorrow, and that I want you to change your life, you'd be just as annoyed, okay? And this is what I was talking about earlier when Ron and I were getting emails and letters and emails and Twitters from people saying, and phone calls even, saying that, you know, the world's going to end and you need to change your life and you need to get right with God. And I thought, well, okay, what does it mean to get right with God? If I pray to God and I talk to God and God is okay and I feel okay with God and I feel okay with myself, and that's a pretty normal thing to have, is a belief system in a God that most certainly protects you and most certainly looks out for you and gives you what you need rather than what you want. That is what God is to me, okay? But for some people, it's not that at all. It's God talks to me, and God has told me this, and I believe this. And see, that's the thing. You talk to God, you're religious. If God talks to you, well, you're nuts. That's always been the idea, right? That was, I think that was a quote from House. I mean, if you're terrified that the world will end tomorrow, you may be having a break with reality. I mean, a reality is yes, eventually the earth may end, but are you going to be alive to see it? Maybe not. And the world will end when you do close your eyes and take your last breath. That is reality. Now, I know there seems to be this double standard where people say, well, you know, if I follow science and they follow a God, they're delusional. That makes me better than them. Not necessarily, because the thing is when you're looking at psychosis, when you're looking at mental disturbance, psychosis is basically a loss of contact with reality, or the reality that is experienced by the majority of people. I mean, it can manifest itself in many ways. It's alarmingly common, because brains sometimes break and they receive internal disruptions from many things, from trauma, from drugs, from alcohol. And so there is a point where you do have a break with reality at times. Sometimes you do have a fantasy. Sometimes you have magical thinking. Sometimes you think you can do these things, or if you can prove them, you can do these things. There are superpowers you may have and you don't know what to do with them. That's where the paranormal comes in. And that is what is, you know, that happens a lot. But see, you have to give yourself a bit of exclusion. You have to say to yourself, well, I'm going to rule out all these other things. And if I can rule out that I'm not losing my mind, then I'm experiencing something that someone else isn't experiencing. Doesn't necessarily make me crazy, but I feel something. I feel something somebody else doesn't feel. It's called the Oz factor. I'm experiencing something that someone else isn't experiencing. It's called the Oz factor. And then when we look at what hallucinations are, well, that's pretty straightforward. You know, you can have an imaginary friend, but if you see that imaginary friend and you try to show everybody that imaginary friend's in the room with you and they don't see it, once again, you're having an Oz factor experience. Or you're the only one experiencing it, no one else is, and you're looking like you're going nuts. When you have a delusion, that's trickier. It's not about what someone perceives, but what they believe. And there are many delusions. There are grandiose delusions, where people believe they're far more impressive than they really are. Believing they're a genius in some respects when in reality they're not. They're just a typical person. Thinking they're special when they're not. They're just a typical person. Thinking they have the power to move things with their mind. Maybe they do, but if you can show it, then that'll be remarkable. There are people who have delusions of persecution. People always believe they're being persecuted. People with paranoia. I mean, all of these things are something that can trigger thoughts of the end of the world. And the thing is, this can't be part of the belief system, because they spring on you so suddenly, and they become an emotional imperative to fulfill and to see if things are to happen. People, no matter who you are, will, in the back of your mind, wonder if the world will end tomorrow. Because the seed's been planted. The thought processes and the reality have been disrupted. Now, what you do with that disruption, either you worry about that disruption, or you continue to think that this seed of disruption is going to blossom, then we run into a problem. You have to have somebody stop you and say, this isn't going to happen. Don't worry. And even though it may look like it's part of some scripturally sound prophecy, it may or may not be a part of it. It may mean absolutely nothing. And so if you were worried, I'm saying, believe me, everybody has a reason to it. Everything around you, it's not a delusion. Things are falling apart. So I wish and I hope, and the reason why I brought this up is because I wish and I hope that if anyone who's listening tonight believe the world's going to end and believe the world's going to end tomorrow, and it doesn't happen, I hope you understand that there are people out there that can actually empathize, and they can understand why you feel the way you do. They can understand why people had this idea and have this feeling. I mean, you can be forgiven because of all the horrible things that are happening in the world right now. Let's go to Genesis in Arizona. Hi, Genesis. You're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clive. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Thank God freedom rings on talk radio, Ground Zero, you know. I was going to say, if the apocalypse does happen, it's a good thing. It's here to wipe off the evil in the world. Believe me, if you believe in God, he'll protect you. Like, you talk about being protected by God. You know, he's done things for you to keep you alive and on top of the world. He will protect you. Now, those people in the New World Order, they're worshiping the devil. So they're already gone. The sooner it comes, the better. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like the apocalypse is the unraveling and the... Are you talking about Armageddon or are you talking about the apocalypse?
Well, this Planet X could be just the beginning of the end of times, you know what I mean?
But why would anyone want to see the end of anything? I mean, I would love to see it continue. Everybody's talking about the end of the world, but they talk as if they're looking forward to it. What's that?
We have a new beginning then, you see. The end is just the beginning.
You hope that.
It has to be. It has to be. That's why we're here today. We started again, you know, at some time in the past, you know. This is supposed to be the age of enlightenment. We're living in it. You know, we're basically slaves right now. Happy Slavery Day to everybody last Labor Day, but you can call it Slavery Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so this is going to say, you know, when there's a crisis, everybody comes together. This is a beautiful thing. It's totally against what the New World Order wants, to divide us all against each other, black, white, you know, whatever, gay, straight, who cares? You know, man, woman, man, whatever. They all just want to put us against each other. Well, this is going to bring everybody together, Clyde.
Right.
It's beautiful. It's going to backfire in their faces. And believe me, if you believe in God, he's going to protect you. And those people that don't believe in him, they're worshiping the devil, they're the ones that dark star is going to take right away with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's past time for it to happen. These people that are in control of the government and the way the corporations are people now, you know, they're not people, but that's how they get away with, you know, messing with the Constitution, with we the people. They're supposed to have the power.
Right.
You know, that's how they get away with this stuff. And we're $20 trillion in debt so they could finish their underground cities.
Well, we're $20 trillion in debt maybe for that, but we're also going to be spending out $700 billion for more war.
Well,
more effort's going to be built. I mean, obviously, they're preparing for some sort of confrontation with some country.
Well, let's talk about Korea then, because that's the hot button, right? Let's say they do a 9/11. They set up the deep state, creep state, whatever you want to call it. They set off a EMP, blame it on Korea. Everybody's going to fall for it, right?
Right.
And then they declare martial law. Boom. They start rounding people up. And believe me, they shut down talk radio for what I just said in Bullhead City. They shut down the local talk radio for what I just said to you in Bullhead City, Arizona.
Really?
They was on Friday, and they were off the air Monday. And, you know, they're censoring the Internet with Germany in control of the Internet now. They're censoring people, hate speech. They're going to come after you if you're against their program. you know?
Well, I don't know if they're going to come after you, but they're certainly going to make life hard for you. They already do for people who try to speak their minds, that's for sure.
Yeah, and this is what talk radio is, and thank God freedom rings on talk radio. I'm talking about your guest that you had tonight, the guest you've had before. I think started listening to you probably sometime this year. They put it on the radio station here, and it's like it is so inspiring to hear you.
Well, thank you.
And your thoughts, you know, they're just clear. They're focused. You speak what's on your mind. You know, you're right on target.
Thank you, Genesis. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
Yep, you too.
Take care. Bye bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Do you think it's a delusion to think, I mean, is it kind of delusional to think the world's going to end tomorrow? I mean, after everything we've been through, I mean, I would see why people would feel that way, right? I mean, we take for granted the Earth's going to be here in the morning. I mean, what if we show up and it's not there? are we not there and it's here? I mean, that's what's probably going to, we're not going to be here, but it'll remain here. It's been here for billions of years. It don't need us to continue, that's for sure. 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. Let's go to Mike in Maryland. Hi, Mike. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde.
Hey, man.
First of all, I want to say, is there any way you can tell Liam thank you for giving my kids another game to kick my butt at? I'm telling you, dude, I've only won six times. We probably played about 75, and I've only won six.
He beat me at Battleship, I'll tell you. I mean, and everybody says, well, why did you stop? Well, because he beat me. He didn't want to embarrass me, but yeah, he beat me at Battleship when we were doing that game the other night. So for those of you that are watching,
I'm telling you,
those who watches Liam, anybody who watches Liam's channel saw how he just beat me. He beat me senseless at Battleship. It was amazing. So what's on your mind, Mike? What's on your mind?
All right, well, here, man, I know you like messing around with numbers.
Right.
Okay, well, 7's been coming up a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
With, I don't know, 7 seals, 7 years to the next eclipse.
Yeah.
And 37 is supposed to be, like, the number of God.
Yeah, right? The number of the signature, yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, so we're hitting the year 2017, and it's 37, right?
20 plus 17, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So guess how many 37-37s we have this year?
37-30, I don't understand. How many 37, I don't know, how many 37-37s do we have?
Okay, well, you take the month and the day in the month, and it equals up to 37. Like, and it all starts out with June.
Mm-hmm.
June 1st, 37-37.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on moving all the way up. There's seven of them.
Oh, that's okay. Right. There are seven. Uh-huh. Okay.
7-37-37. All right. Now, this alignment is falling on the fourth month, mm-hmm. which if you take seven dots and you count the fourth one, it's dead center, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you move to the last one, the seventh. 37-37. Guess what day that falls on?
What day?
Christmas.
That's interesting.
Now, what if we're seeing this planet show up on Christmas?
It could.
And then 7 more years, we have another eclipse.
I would say that, yeah, you know, it would be bizarre if we saw Planet X, if we started seeing Planet X appear in the skies during Christmas time. It would most certainly shake a lot of people, and their faith would either grow or it would be shaken. And I would say, you know, it wouldn't be beyond the pale if, because I know that from what I've read and from what I've studied, and in fact even Marshall Masters said something to the effect that we will be seeing at least a telescope will show, if not with the naked eye, Planet X somewhere near the sun, coming from behind the sun. And, in fact, if you go to Marshall Masters, YaoUSA.com, you see that a lot of people have said that they've already seen it and they've got it on camera. So, you know, depending on where they are in the world, they can probably get a glimpse of this smaller sphere that's near the sun.
Yeah. Now imagine how much closer it's going to be in 7 years when the next eclipse comes. what happens then. I mean, I kind of believe in, like, this has had to happen before. I mean, it happened, 7,000 years ago, right?
Well, the alignment happened 7,000 years ago. This alignment, okay, well, this Virgo convergence, 7,000 years, took 7,000 years to do it. What's interesting is that it's happening on the Feast of the Trumpets, which, you know, it's happening on the Jewish holiday. And a lot of people see that again. I mean, it affects the Jews. It affects Israel when this happens. And so, once again, we charge this religious city or this religious center. And these are things that most certainly are curious. I don't know. There's just so many things about what's happening that are... They play with the mind. They really do. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Together when we burn, there'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn.
Earthquakes,
earthquakes,
volcanoes are the signs the end times are
coming. Witnesses that weather storms are so sure of the end times, they think there's nothing left.
Beyond the science, some see biblical prophecy that the heavens tell of divine destiny, even a sign of the end times predicted in the Holy Scriptures.
Our film is filmed, carrying on the air with full surprises. This object is something that astronomers said shouldn't even be there, shouldn't even be there, shouldn't even be there. There's a whole other solar system beyond the planets that we know. They're full of these things that are sort of planets, sort of comets.
It'll hit with a force of 100,000 bombs. If it hits, right, it's a catastrophe beyond human comprehension. And the head of the Russian Space Agency has said that the Russian scientists should think of some ways of deflecting it or handling it.
The next solar eclipse is due in 7 years.
Seven years.
An interesting biblical number of completion. The question for some biblical scholars is God completing something in this seven-year cycle, or is it just another spectacular show in the sky?
The debate over just how close he'll get is sparking some serious debate between Russian scientists and American scientists.
Both sides seem to agree that in 3 decades, the asteroid will fly very close to Earth.
Russian scientists know that our planet's gravity could change the asteroid's path. They said it on a collision course.
He was in pain, of course. It's Roger who's named.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. 888-673-3700. Tonight we're talking about what else tomorrow is supposed to be. Well, according to David Bean, the end of the world. I just heard from the grapevine that he went back to his original prediction of the end of the world being in October. He's just hedging his bet. Why? Probably because Australia and Japan are still there. China's still there. The other side of the planet is still there. It's the 23rd there. The alignment is happening, though. I've been seeing star charts. I've been seeing people sending me pictures of all of it. Quite frankly, it's exciting to look at. But what does it mean to you? Does this mean that something's going on? Is this like a fulfillment of prophecy? It happens every 7,000 years, or at least from what I read, it happens every 7,000 years. The interesting thing is, I think, isn't today Rosh Hashanah? Or tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah? Not sure. I thought Rosh Hashanah was probably closer to the end of October, but I have a feeling it's tomorrow, on the same day that this whole thing is supposed to come together and be above us, and it's certainly something to think about. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Aaron in South Dakota. Hi, Aaron. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. I'm calling to let you guys know everything. The planet is off balance.
Okay. What do you mean?
Between good and evil.
Oh. Okay. I thought you meant the planet's got a wobble or something's going on with that.
The light of our spiritual beliefs and our understanding of reality is off.
So what kind of spiritual beliefs do we need to have to make them balanced? I mean, it's always been a part of spiritual duality. You got to know the good from the bad. You got to know how to balance them both.
Exactly. And that is our issue with why we debate and why we have wars.
We have wars because there are men that want to basically kill people and they get paid to kill.
Exactly. And that is the evil. And
we only fight with each other if we're told it's okay. If our government says it's okay that we should fight with one another, if the government tells us that there's a race war, if the government tells us or the media tells us that we all believe that we're white supremacists, if the media, I mean, people start believing the crap. It's all there to create strategies of tension. If the media were to have gotten hold of the idea that the world's going to end tomorrow, more people would believe it. But since the internet, this is an internet thing, it's just testing the waters for the bigger dance, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's all control. They want the control over the masses, so they control the media.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell us what they want us to believe one way, and it's really the other way. Or whatever, you know. It's off balance.
It is off balance. A lot of the information gets off balance. It's insane the way they want you to believe a number of things that aren't true.
Yep. And the fact of the matter is, it's the spiritual side of our beliefs, because you have religion and science are fighting between the two, in a way.
I think science is winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's determined the basis of facts and whatnot.
Well, I just think it's winning because people just give up. They don't want to. They'd rather want to be with something that, they don't want to be the one to think or be accused of having a delusion about God.
Right, and they don't want to accept death all the way.
They want to think that they can beat it. They want to think they can beat everything. They want to think that everything is in our hands. What they're going to find out is the only way to beat it is to be a machine, and we'll eventually convert over to that. Let's go now to Stacy in Florida. Hi, Stacy. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing, Clark?
Doing good.
Clive, I tried calling you before, and I haven't had much luck. On October 13th of this year, I believe there's going to be a solar event. The reason why I believe this is, in 1967, I saw something that defied the laws of physics, defied the laws of logic. And 50 years before that, it was predicted by three children in Fatima, Portugal, that there would be a miracle in the field. And in that field, between 30,000 and 100,000 people, depending on what source you read, witnessed the dancing of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I saw in 1967. And on WJZ-TV, Channel 13, Baltimore, Maryland, Jerry Turner said they received a number of phone calls about a solar anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the Pope went to Fatima, Portugal, and canonized two of the three children, who are now deceased, of course. And they wrote, the one became a nun and wrote three secrets, two of which have been proven to be accurate, that the end of World War One, the beginning of World War Two. The third one, there's been a lot of conspiracy theory about what it actually was. I don't know how much time I got.
It's the fall. I know. I heard that it's the fall of the Roman Church and a war with Russia. That's what I heard. It was a war with Russia, final war with Russia, follow the Roman Church, and the Pope would be crawling over the bodies of the people of the church, and he would eventually die too.
Yeah. And like I said, it's been a lot of conspiracy theory about that. What I saw was, it was incredible. My friend and I were walking down the street in Baltimore, Maryland, and we saw a rainbow effect around the sun, which I told him was ice crystals in its upper atmosphere.
Right, sun dogs. Mm-hmm.
Right. The next thing was the sun looked like an egg that you broke open in a frying pan and it was bubbling up. I said, well, that might have been a solar flare because they didn't have much video back then in 67 of, such events.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I saw was the sun started wobbling like a globe that's loose. You know, it's sort of wobbling like that.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that happened was the sun started spinning like a disc, and they're shooting out light rays from the rainbow effect. All these things I know is impossible, can't happen. I know the sun is spherical, not flat. Next thing will blow your mind, it started bouncing across the sky like a basketball, or I usually describe it as the Mickey Mouse short cartoon Steamboat Willie, where he's whistling and it's bouncing across the music notes. After that,
is where it gets scary. The sun started getting bigger and bigger. My friend thought it was going to collapse, and he said, hide under the car. And I told him, no, we just got to protect the car. It's a brand new car. I was making a joke because my friend was a little younger, but he was a gutsy guy, and he was scared to death about that. I figured we'd be incinerated or vaporized long before the sun actually hit the earth. I opened my eyes one last time. When I looked up, there was no more blue in the sky. It was all yellow. And that was the end of it. What I'm afraid is, will we have another event? Because the anniversary is October 13th of this year.
Well, it's Friday the 13th, if that'll make it feel any better.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. I'm hoping it'll show, you know, everybody will get to see it. Because, you know, once you've seen something like that, it makes the solar eclipse about as impressive as a old-time flashlight in a dark room.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Well, it sounds like you had some sort of a weird experience. People have them. And, yeah, a lot of people are concerned about the anniversary of the Third Secret of Fatima. I've heard more people concerned about it. And the fact that it falls on Friday the 13th is another anomaly, which, you know, again, it's just one day after we're tracking that asteroid that's supposed to come near the planet. So there you go. October 12th, October 13th. I mean, a lot of things are happening, and dates are meaningful, and people are really, really paying attention. I think it's because I would say that we're shell-shocked. I mean, wouldn't you say that you're shell-shocked? Anybody listening, are you a little shell-shocked about what's been happening in the world right now? Has it rekindled your faith? Your faith in God? Has it diminished your faith in God? Are you finding yourself losing your faith? I mean, these are things that happen. I mean, things happen, you're thinking, wow, you know, these things are happening. You have no control of it. Is it terrifying you? Does it frighten you in some way? I know for me, in the back of my mind, I think about the end of the world. I don't necessarily hold it in front of me and demand everybody hear me say, oh my God, the world is ending. Because that'd be insane. You wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't be invited to parties or anything else. So what about you? What are you feeling right now? I mean, are you going to breathe a sigh of relief when the sun rises tomorrow? Are you expecting it to be desolate? Are you expecting Planet X to come over and fly over? I mean, I just want to know these things because, you know, I just want to know just how effective this type of engineering is. I know a lot of people are out there saying, are really getting, they sound very guarded about what's going on. They sound very guarded. They don't want to tell anybody about how they feel, what their honest opinions are about what's going down. And so we've had the lines full all night long. We have a few lines open now. So I'm opening the lines to people who just want to call and talk about what their thoughts are about this date coming up, the alignment coming up, Planet X, the future, whether or not we are in the apocalypse. How much time do we have on this planet, do you think? How much time do you think we have before the second coming? Because I'll tell you, with all these things happening, I've gone from thinking the second coming is, you know, I thought the second coming is seconds in coming. That's what it feels like. It feels like that it's not too far away. So we have open lines, a few lines tonight open so far that we can get. A lot of people, of course, have a hard time getting in. They just give up. Well, now's your chance not to give up. Give us a call, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be taking your calls coming up on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. Don't go away. We'll be back. Let's go to John in Oregon. Hi, John. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Glenn. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, just because Australia and Japan aren't seeing anything, that is our time. That's not God. God didn't start time there. God started time probably over in Jerusalem. So once Jerusalem hits the 23rd.
They're the 23rd. They've been the 23rd now for at least 2 hours.
In Jerusalem?
Yes, they have.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't look on the clock or anything like that, or look on the computer.
I mean, I mentioned that it's midnight in Jerusalem a couple hours ago, midnight in Israel.
Oh.
But the alignment is happening. I mean, the alignment is happening. There's no stopping the alignment. It's happening right now.
Oh, yeah. No, and I'm with your other guy. I think that, you know, something's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be like a really, you know, the sky's going to fall or anything like that.
No, I don't think anybody, I hope sane people are thinking like you are, but I'm just saying that, you know, as just a, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing that if we wake up and we realize that Australia and all the other countries over there are still here, the Earth hasn't ended because it's always tomorrow somewhere else. And so that was kind of a joke. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, this is still aligning. I got pictures from various apps where people were showing me how the stars are moving together. They're already moving together. And, you know, but it's an event that's interesting. It doesn't mean that the Earth's ending. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, it doesn't mean that things are going to happen. But there is the possibility that days later something significant could happen, or you know, it could be a it could influence people in such a way where eventually there's repercussions, like a butterfly effect of some kind.
I agree. And my kids, they saw a pretty good sized meteor tonight.
Wow.
I mean, you're right here in Portland with me, you know, and so they saw it, and they said it lit up the sky pretty good.
Somebody said he saw something over Hillsborough. It looked like some sort of flash coming up from the ground and illuminating the entire sky.
Yeah, these guys, my kids, I didn't see it, of course. They would, you know, I don't know if they'd be able to distinguish between something coming up from the ground or a meteor or whatever. So that could be the case.
Right. Well, case.
But
yeah, I mean,
so,
but awesome, a lot of things
show,
happening.
Awesome show tonight. Sorry, I was listening to you earlier, went in, ate dinner, came back, and I've only caught the last about hour or so.
No, it's all happening, but when we're looking at the end of the world, I always wonder, you know, is it Pacific time or Eastern time when this is supposed to happen? Because if it's Eastern time, it happens to them before it happens to us, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, Clyde. Well, we love you. You have a good night.
Thank you, John.
Stay well, okay?
Love you, too. Best to your family. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Before we go to the top of the hour, I just want to tell you that I will be in Las Vegas for what is known as the 5D events. Now, the 5D events, this is something that is, for me, something new. It's been around for a while, but it's in Las Vegas. It's by the New Humanity Movement that are presenting what is called the International Symposium of Quantum Consciousness and Healing. It'll be happening October 20th, 21st, and 22nd from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. It's going to be daily. It's going to be at Alexis Park All Suite Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the address is 375 East Harmon Avenue, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89169. It's in front of the Hard Rock, right in front of the Hard Rock Cafe behind the Strip. If you want to find out about rooms and accommodations, alexispark.com. That's alexispark.com. It's all about quantum consciousness and healing. It's an epic three-day event with keynote speakers, 100 lectures, workshops, panels, exhibits, documentary, film, and music, and a dinner banquet. There's going to be a dinner banquet in honor of Jordan Maxwell. And I will be speaking. I'm a keynote speaker. I'll be speaking there, and I will be hosting a time travel panel with none other than Andrew Visaggio and John Teeter. So that'll be an interesting workshop and get-together. So check us out once again. It's the International Symposium of Quantum Consciousness and Healing, the 5D event. It's the Pioneers in Consciousness Science and Space Research. And I will be there at Alexis Park All Suites Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada, 375 East Harmon Avenue, Las Vegas, Nevada, October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I'd love to see you there. I have a contingency from Portland, Oregon in Las Vegas that time. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Introduction.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Now, I know for a certainty that NASA would never, ever confirm the existence of Nibiru. Even if it was out there in the skies, right behind the sun, they wouldn't confirm it. In fact, when Planet 9 was discovered in 2015 by Caltech researchers Constantine Batygin and Mike Brown, NASA was holding back its cynicism, hoping that nobody would call it Planet X. And they were hoping that no one would say, this is proof that something horrible is about to happen. They freaked out in the past. They're freaking out now. In fact, they actually, if you type in Nibiru or if you type in Planet X, immediately all of the NASA sites buzzing saying it's all a hoax, you know, forget it, whatever. And it was just announced that David Mead has postponed the end of the world. It is not happening tomorrow, according to David Mead. It is happening in another date. I don't know exactly the date. I just know that he was throwing around some more numbers, 33 here, 33 there, you know, exactly how every armchair numerologist, every armchair analyst is, and people will just jump on board with that. And anyway, but as I said, you know, we must, you know, let me just say this. Okay, so when Mike Brown was at Caltech. Mike Brown was the guy that got rid of Pluto, okay? Got rid of Pluto, thought he would make it up to us by creating Planet 9. And some people are calling it Planet X, and now I'm learning the Planet X and Planet 9 are two different things. They're two different breeds of cat, basically. So 2015 is when they announced that Planet X was coming, saying that by 2017 we should be seeing it. 2017 estimations, the winter of 2017, probably January, probably December. It varies from person to person, October, November, December. I heard that Ed Dame said December. I was told December. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Maybe they'll change the date on that too. Who knows? But, you know, you always say to yourself, how is it that these types of ideas, how do they take root? How do these ideas take root? How do these apocalyptic ideas take root? Well, it's simple. Let's do a little history, okay? And it's quick history. It's not too far back. So, the Pope, Pope Francis, back when they first announced Planet 9 and denounced Planet X, Pope Francis made some interesting statements, and it was on November 15, 2015, before the announcement. 2 days after the jihadist attacks in Paris, Pope Francis preached about the end times. He encouraged faithful Catholics to be vigilant and ready at any moment to meet God face to face. And of course, it would seem counterproductive for the Pope not to condemn the attacks and give his prayers, but to push the end times talk and the ideas of meeting God face to face seems a little maudlin, even by my standards. Well, undaunted, 2 days later, the Pope said at his scripture reading that Jesus' preaching about the end of the world contains, quote, apocalyptic elements like war, famine, and cosmic catastrophes. In those days, Francis repeated, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. The heavens will be shaken. Pope Francis, we all know, is the leader of, well, he oversees about 1.2 billion, that's billion with a B, 1.2 billion Catholics. And here he is pushing end times themes in his speeches and scripture reading during his Thanksgiving Day address at St. Peter's Square. The Pope said at the end of the, he said, well, the end of the world was inevitable because there was so much sin, or there is so much sin in the world, adding that questions about the apocalypse have always been part of ancient mythology for some time, and now he thought that the world was passing away slowly, that traveling down through the ages of the church, no one knew the time or date when Jesus was returning. No one knew when it was supposed to happen. And he confirmed at the end that, well, the end of the world is unavoidable, so get with the program and understand it's coming. The Pope also added the apocalypse will not be the end. The apocalypse is something else. The apocalypse will transform us. It will transform us so that we can be prepared for the end of this world and the beginning of worlds to come. Basically being available to transcend this world into another world, into a beautiful universe. The Pope seemed to be saying that many of the seals who have been opened, the sixth especially when he read this at his, this was in 2015, he read this scripture, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Now keep in mind, all of this that I'm reading to you happened 2 years ago. This was the Pope speaking 2 years ago, and it sounds chillingly prophetic, more so than what David Mean has put together using dime store numerology and Planet X realities, okay? And now postponing the date. Now, if Planet X is going to collide with us, I think we would know by now just by looking out the window. If it's that close to collide, I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Melancholia or Another Earth or the end episode of The Event that was on NPC for about 15 minutes. But it would certainly cause a lot more trauma than we're receiving now if Planet X was going to hit us tomorrow or hit us in the next few hours. Now, looking into the sky, or searching the sky at night, I can guarantee you that Planet X will not be colliding with Earth anytime soon. But, that doesn't mean that it's not out there somewhere, and that its approach will not cause problems for the planet. That we'll be seeing fireballs, we'll be seeing rains of rocks from the heavens, we'll be seeing all kinds of crazy stuff, more earthquakes, more volcanoes, volcano eruptions, and of course the earthquakes are moving up the Ring of Fire, and I'm not happy with the idea that it may hit Portland, or it may hit Alaska, or somewhere in British Columbia. This is what's going on. The Cascade subduction zone is here in the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire has been having all kinds of activity lately. Indonesia's preparing for a huge volcano to erupt right now. So, when Planet X approaches, and when it comes from behind the sun, it's supposed to trigger all of the catastrophes that we're experiencing now. It wasn't long after the Pope's announcement back in 2015 that a video went viral on the internet. Surprisingly, it came from the New York Post. The caption of the video read, "Scientists believe they have discovered a planet currently unnamed but being referred to as Planet 9. Unfortunately, this might not be great news, since the planet's orbit might cause asteroids to come shooting at the Earth." That was what was said on the video from the New York Post. New York Post said that. The video that the New York Post released said that this planet, Planet 9, may have a sweeper effect and send asteroids our way. It also claimed that our fate may be the same as the dinosaurs because of this rogue planet and its effects on the solar system. Now, this is where it gets uncannily bizarre. Here we are 2 years later, and it appears that NASA has been very concerned about potentially deadly asteroids that have been passing over us and luckily missing us. And as I reported earlier this past week, we had at least three. But NASA says, oh, we just figured out they went by. One the size of a shopping mall, okay? One the size of a shopping mall. They just thought, oh, yeah, that thing went by. Well, we didn't report that. We didn't want to scare anybody. Then one half that size, then one the size of a cross-town bus. Then we got another one coming in October with a close shave that's about the size of the same one that hit Chelyabinsk, Russia. Chelyabinsk, Russia, back in 2013. And so, you know, Planet X, is it causing this? Is it pushing all this stuff towards us? Well, if you look at Planet 9, or if you look at Planet X, or you look at Nemesis, we're looking at something about four times as large as Earth and 10 times as massive. We're looking at something with an orbit that takes about 10,000 to 20,000 years. A planet that big can only be hiding in so many places, and scientists say that those places are long ways away from Earth right now. So, no, we will not be seeing the end of the world at the hands of Planet X, but it's interesting to see that perhaps its approach, the approach of Planet X, could be causing a lot of catastrophic effects on the planet, more so than normal. And that's the thing that's most disconcerting about the whole Planet X story. Is that it may feel like the end of the world. It's not going to end the world. It's going to maybe end your time on the world or in the planet. And as I said earlier, God in his infinite wisdom, when he wipes out one civilization, there's always another civilization there to witness the destruction of that civilization. So will you be one of the witnesses, or are you going to be one of those that are going to be falling under the hand of destruction? That's the question. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Your phone call is coming up on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. More to come. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Over the years, I have interviewed a lot of people about Planet X, and they've always stated that one of the chief indicators that something was coming at us would be precursory fireballs, comets, they would appear frightfully close to the planet, asteroids. And in some instances, we would hear of fireballs hitting the Earth, the Moon, and quite possibly Mars. Now, researchers have theorized that if something huge was heading our way, the Sun would most certainly become responsive, and huge CMEs would be the result. The effects on the Earth would be seen as biblical catastrophes, and there would be all sorts of tidal waves, volcanic activity, and earthquakes that would increase in number and intensity. Well, the news lately seems to be raising the possibility that something seems to be triggering some remarkable seismic activities. And as I said earlier, if you think the world's going to end and it doesn't tomorrow, that's something I'd forgive you for, because it sure seems like it's heading that way. Let's go now to Hugh in Colorado. Hi, Hugh. You're on Ground Zero.
How you doing, Clive?
Doing good.
Greetings.
Hi.
Now, I'm calling tonight to thank you and give you reasoning and tell you I love you. And I appreciate your being, but do you have a piece of paper in front of you?
No, I do not, as a matter of fact. What's up?
Well, maybe I can explain it.
Okay.
Now, I am just me, but I am everything. Now, I'm contacting you through a plane. If you write on a piece of paper a first dimension, a single one, and you add the one to which I'm contacting you, gives you another one, which equals two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two is the only number that we have that can be added and multiplied, and you will get the same result, which is four, which is deity. It's the everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the power of radio, you are compounding my voice right now to take the number one, which I've talked to you, and I'm talking to millions now,
mm-hmm,
to give, do you know anything of the people, the rust?
Know anything of what?
The rust.
The what? I don't understand.
The rust people.
The rust people. Are you talking about the American Indian? You're talking about the Native American?
I'm talking the rust people.
Who are the rust people?
Okay, I'm about to collide a couple paradigms for you, okay?
Okay.
Now, I believe that we live in multiple dimensions in this honeycomb earth.
Okay.
Now, it's not, it's deep, okay? Now, Perrin, son of Sparrow of Asgard, did fall to this earth as a being of light. We saw it. We as people saw it, okay? We are beings.
So are you Norse? Do you believe in Norse? Do you have Norse beliefs?
I believe in Zenith.
So you do have Norse beliefs? Right?
I don't know what I'm trying. I don't know what you're communicating with me. I'm trying to communicate something.
I'm telling you that I'm trying to understand that you have you are a Norse. You believe in Norse mythologies and Norse belief systems. Viking beliefs, like the Vikings used to believe, or they still believe, right?
This is what I believe, sir.
Okay.
This is what I put together.
Okay.
That our beings have had we've had a block. Okay, the block is carbon. The block is carbon. We are not carbon based. We are crystalline based.
Okay.
Okay. Now we have come to a mutual intelligibility, okay,
mm-hmm.
which has given us language, which mm-hmm. has given us social linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you break down social linguistics, it will go to a demonym and a gentilic. Now, I come to you today, not Jew or Gentile, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just being as you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in both of these, you will find that there is only two. There's only one way to describe the two in both of these. And that's through the Logos and through the Prima. Okay? Now, I understand that you speak Latin.
Yeah.
But you understand what the Prima is.
Yeah.
The beginning.
The beginning, yeah.
Now, the Logos or the Logons.
The words.
Or the Logos.
The words, Logos. The word.
Logos. They are shown to us.
In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was Logos.
They were given to us.
Right.
Now the carbon is a virus, okay? It's a virus that is, it's encompassed our being. Our being is crystalline, okay? So as They've turned the world into a lagoon, a logon, a lagoon. We're supposed to be crystalline. We are supposed to be beings of light. We are supposed to be shining. Now, if you take water, which is pure, water is pure. Now, if you take the water and we see the logos through the water. We see it's given to us. That's something that is given to us. And the Prima, which is
the first words.
We are all to go to the Mesa.
The first words were let there be light. The first words were let there be light.
We are to go to the Mesa naked, okay?
Okay.
The Mesa are chopped trees of silicate. We have been harvested. We have been used as ants. Our earth is covered in water. The water is a shield. The volcanoes are trying to heat up the world. The world is supposed to be hot. It's going to take our being and melt this water being that we are and turn us back into silicate.
And when will this happen? When will this happen? Tell me, I'm running out of time.
Can I catch you on the other side of the break? I hear the music coming in.
All right, quickly, and then I'll have to let you go. But hold on, I got to hear what this ends up being. We'll be back.
And Ground Zero on FM News 101. moons revolve around the planets, and the planets turning on their axis revolve with their moons around the sun. The sun, its planets, and the moons take some star for its due, and revolves around it for 4,000 years around Earth. Celestial phenomenon which causes the backward movement of the equinoctial points around the zodiac.
One civilization has the power of an entire planet. We are a planetary civilization. It is a star. They consume the power of a star. And we control the power of an entire galaxy.
Earth is the seventh element.
A partner star to our own sun.
Earth is the seventh element.
The whole universe is beginning to crumble. There's chaos.
In Arizona at the turn of the century, astromathematician Percival Lowell was searching for what he called Planet X, 'cause he knew deep down in his soul that an unseen gravitational presence meant a new planet spinning in the air, joining the other eight already known, circling our sun up there.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The number's call tonight, 888-673-3700. Hugh from Colorado was trying to relate a message to me. He was speaking about a number of things. One thing I got from his message is prima and logos, meaning first word. The first word, if we go by the Bible, first word was let there be light. The first words were let there be light, spoken by God, basically making life into existence through word and light. Let's go to Hugh in Colorado. We need to finish your topic. Go ahead.
Thank you for this ability, Clyde. I'm talking to you tonight through retrocausality and retrograde motion. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's something to enlighten you. Are you aware of the Tamamasef?
No, I'm not.
Okay, it's a giant volcano that was found by the University of Houston, which was just covered in water, let me mind you.
Okay.
It is a large volcano. It is meant to heat this earth. It is is in the triad of the Mariana Trench, Mauna Kea, also known as Mauna Loa, and Tamamasef. It's in a triad, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to hit you with that. Are you aware of the language with Belarusian?
No, I do not know what the language of the Belarusians are.
Belarusian is the common language of the people of Poland, to which on the 13th, there will be a happening. On the 12th, the people of the water and the carbon people are going to try to suppress the being that is going to come on the 13th. Now, in the word Belarusian, which is a common language there, it's only known by few, it's only written, spoken, and known by even fewer. A percentage, as in Einstein's theory. Now, in the word Belarusian, there's the word Rus. And the Rus people are the people of the light. They're the real people. They know what the crystalline is about. The people of the carbon are trying to destroy. They have destroyed us. We must go to the mesas, naked, not in the sheep clothing, not in wool.
So are you saying there's going to be an event in Poland on the 13th?
I am saying there's going to be an event in Poland on the 13th. And as I'm giving you this language tonight, as I am conversing with you, through the dialect continuum, that there is 21 days until the 13th right now.
21 days until the event in Poland.
There is.
All right.
3 times 7 is the...
Here, we will leave it there, and we will if something happens in Poland on the 13th, then we'll remember this call. That's amazing. We'll remember the call. Let's go to Roxanne in Oregon. Hi, Roxanne, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, I almost feel out of topic now, but I was you asked a question about what people were thinking.
Oh, go ahead, yeah. But that's what he was thinking, that there was going to be an event on the 13th in Poland. Go ahead.
Right. So you were asking what people thought of the sign in the sky. That's also that thing you mentioned in the Book of Revelations. And I don't think, and I think a lot of people don't think it's the end of the world tomorrow. I think a lot of people believe it's just the signaling of the beginning of the end. And I think biblically it says it'll take 7 years for that to culminate, or the return of the second coming, and if you think about it, the next eclipse is also in 7 years, so it's kind of interesting.
2024. No, is it? Yeah. 2024. Interesting.
Yeah, and people are thinking it's a big deal over the eclipse is apparently making an X over the United States, which people like to compare to Babylon in the Bible, so... Interesting.
Always remember, though, an X represents Jesus.
Well,
no,
I think
it does.
We like to think that.
No, it does. Look it up. An X represents Jesus. The early Christians used an X to represent Jesus. Think about it.
Yep, well, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, well, that's true. An X... You know, people always say, oh, Xmas, you're taking on Christ. No, X means Christ. Always has been Christ. X is Christ. The cross is Christ. Merry Christmas. Merry Xmas, Crossmas. It's Jesus. Always about Jesus. 888-673-3700. Let's go to Peggy in Texas. Hi, Peggy. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I love your show. I listen every night, and I... just become more and more educated in areas I never even thought about.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can. Go ahead, yes.
Okay, thank you. The reason I was calling is because you asked what people were feeling, and I'm feeling anxious. I don't think the end is tomorrow or today, because here it's after midnight.
Right.
I don't think it's going to end tomorrow, but like with the 2012, the Mayans, it started something. 2012 wasn't the end, but it started something. And I think that with everything that's been happening in the world, all the storms, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, everything, I think it's just the start of something else. And a small part of my mind says something's going to happen tomorrow, but it's not going to be the end. So it's like this...
There will be an event. You're thinking there will be an event that may happen tomorrow. It won't be a major event or a world-ending event, but it'll be an event that'll get our attention.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that that event... It may not happen until, you know, midnight, you know, your time tomorrow.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is something's going to happen that, in my feeling, something's going to happen that's going to be the catalyst of even more change.
Okay.
And it worries me because the changes that I see now, with all the fighting and all the anger that is around, it scares me. I'm 62, and when I was in my early teens, there was a lot of the racial, you know, problems in the world, and I remember one day coming out of school and the whites were on one side of the street and the blacks were on the other side of the street. And it just, felt like the end of the world was coming then.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I lived through that, and I've lived through numerous things in my life that I just thought would destroy me, but I lived through them.
I think, yeah, we all go through that sometimes. I went through that in high school when the Pope was shot, Ronald Reagan was shot, and they shot John Lennon. I was going through that, too.
Yeah, and it just feels like your world's going to end, but it doesn't end. It just goes on, you know, and something else will happen down the road that you'll think, oh, my world's going to end, and it doesn't end.
Right.
You know, I just feel like this anxiety that I'm feeling, it just feels like something's going to happen. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope there isn't some big thing that happens, but I mean, if you look at the earthquake in Mexico, that's a big thing.
Right.
You
two
know?
Earthquakes in California, that's a big thing. And what may happen in the Northwest, what may happen in Alaska, it's getting pretty stuffy.
Yes.
It's getting pretty scary. So, Peggy, I know what you're feeling. I know exactly what you're feeling.
It just feels like you don't get a chance to come down from one thing happening before another thing happens.
And that's what's happening, yes. I agree with you. Yeah, that is what's happening.
It just keeps building on top and building on top. And I just, you know, I pray every night. I say to God, it's in your hand. And that's all I think any of us can do.
That's great. And it's true, Peggy. Thank you so much for the call. It's true. We're going to go to break, get to some more phone calls right here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. A lot of great phone calls tonight. And we'll be back with more. Don't go away.
FM News 101, KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
All right, we go through the lightning round. So that's a quick one. So, Sheldon in Arizona, you're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Well, hello, Clyde. I was looking at your daily show right up here, and you mentioned in there that the astronomers had, within the last week, discovered three never-before-seen asteroids, and I'm always trying to connect dots in my own head, and I got this thinking about something Bob Fletcher told me on the phone a few days ago. He said that X-37B space plane that was launched from Florida like two or three days before Irma struck.
Right.
Well, he says that thing has the plasma beam weapons in it, and what great timing to send that thing up when Planet X could be right around the corner and they may need to be firing at an incoming debris field coming in ahead of it.
Well, and they also talked about kinetic weapons the other day and using them on North Korea. And somebody had mentioned the rods from God, and other people said, they don't have the rods from God up there. But, yeah, they do have that space plane. Yep, make an excellent point, Sheldon. Thanks for the call. You do. Let's go to Steven in Nevada. Hi, Steven. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing, Clyde?
Doing great, man.
All right, well, I just wanted to say, talk about what I was feeling about the whole, you know, end of the world thing. And in reality, our government wouldn't tell us anything. They wouldn't tell nobody anything until the last minute. And the problem that I see with that, I know you got to keep society going. I know everybody got to go to work and you got to keep everything moving.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is, knowing that they have all these installations built inside mountains, and they're prepared for all this.
Well, another thing, too, that a lot of people don't know, Stephen, is that one of the things that FEMA does is they make sure they keep the flow of continuity of government secure. So once everything's destroyed and we're all panicking and wondering what's going on in our lives, they will establish a government and find the first opportunity they have to tax you. That's the first thing. They got to start. They start gathering taxes so they can rebuild, and that's the truth.
Yeah, but the problem is that rebuilding who or what? If everybody who's an average person, who's an everyday working guy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I listen to you every night. I drive a transit bus in Las Vegas.
Right.
Right. I listen to you every night. There's no hope for me and my family. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no hope for me and my family or the average person that works every day and just wants the best for their kids. And that's the thing that I'm trying to get at, is that at least if they was to know something was going to happen, at least try to make all, like, the children survive and go into
well,
the bunker.
You may see that because you've seen in a lot of these science fiction movies that when they pull lotteries, they have lotteries for young people so they can keep the young people going. And even in the book Childhood's End, the Corellian said, we want your children. We don't want the old people. So the children survive no matter what. Remember, the meek inherit the earth, Stephen. Hey, I hope I can see you in Las Vegas, my friend. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. You're a good guy, man. You got a lot of knowledge, and you keep me up every night driving this bus, man.
Well, I tell you, I'd be let down if I didn't see you, Stephen. So meet me over the Alexis, and I'll say hi to you, okay, when I'm there. It'll be the 20th.
Yeah, the 20th. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Let's go to Tony in Washington. Hi, Tony. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, hi, Claude. I wish I had more time. I wish I had your communication skills and you had my spiritual knowledge. We'd be a powerful team.
Yeah, probably so.
I could help Steve in Las Vegas. Las Vegas survives. The earth changes. The Holy Spirit had me write a poem. He took me he's taken me to Nibiru many times, told me to write a prophetic poem about it.
You want to read a little of it right now?
I wouldn't do it justice. I'd rather send you a copy. And
let me read it. All right. I would read it, and I would talk about it. I would love to read it. I would love to see what you're getting, what inspiration you're getting.
Well, the teacher has taken me to Nibiru by means of soul travel. You know, Revelation 21:10, John says that the Holy Spirit and his angel took him and showed him these things.
Right, right.
Well, that's him describing soul travel across space and time.
So you opened yourself up for transcendence is what you're telling me.
Yes, many times.
Wow.
And it's based on a promise, Clyde. Back, if you look up Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, Isaiah explains how he wrote the book of Isaiah.
Okay. Well, I want you to send that to me. I mean, we can't go into it because I got to get to another call, but, you know, send me that. GroundZeroPDX@Yahoo.com. GroundZeroPDX@Yahoo.com. Patrick in Missouri, take us home.
Hi, Clyde, a new listener, enjoying the show so far tonight.
Thank you.
A quick question.
Yes.
The whole new reboot thing, it's a new thing to me. I think I heard a little bit from your show one time before, just before the moon covering the sun.
Eclipse, there you go. The eclipse. Go ahead.
The eclipse, yes.
Yes.
Y'all keep saying that it's going to poke out from behind the sun. Well, we pass around the sun during the year. Mm-hmm. Why haven't we been on the proper side with Nibiru?
Because its orbit is too wide. It's a wide orbit. And so we're, every thousands of years or so, we see it, and then it goes away again. If you look up the old Sumerian writings about Nibiru, it'll talk about the winged disc. It'll talk about the winged planet. Some people have said that the whole winged disc idea has nothing to do with Planet X. It has everything to do with Venus. I mean, there are a whole lot of theories about it. Zechariah Sitchin developed theories about it. Percival Lowell developed theories about it. There's a lot of heritage about it and how it is out there, because what Percival Lowell discovered was gravity perturber. A gravity perturber he discovered. He thought, well, the only way a gravity perturber that big is out there, it means that something is pulling, and that would either mean a planet or another star. So you can look up Nemesis, you can look up Planet X, you can look up Nibiru, and you'll get all the same things. You'll be able to find out more about it. I love you, Patrick. Thank you for calling the program tonight.
Absolutely.
Take care. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. The world's not going to end. At least I hope not. I knocked on wood. That was my head, by the way. We'll see y'all. Take care. Good night from Ground Zero.